Okay, so what we're going to do is a little bit of Palm Sunday part two. And to kind of set that an idea in your minds, how many of you were like Taylor Swift when she was doing her last concert series? Did anybody go to that? Travel around to go to any of these Swifties? Yes, Paul? Yes, Paul. Perfect. So one of the things about that is when Taylor Swift arrived in a city, it was a billion-dollar industry. For the older people in the room, you know what I'm saying. When she arrived someplace with all of her crew and all of the Swifties arrived, it generated $1 billion in the local economy. That's crazy. Okay, that's just like one concert series, right? Okay, now for the kids. I want you to think in your mind of who is your favorite character or your favorite celebrity person or this thing, like if it arrived, you were definitely going to see. Because I know for myself, if the real life, not the actors, but actual real life, Bluey and Bingo arrived, I am showing up. Real life. And then like, dude, me and Bandit, best friends, rest of my life. It's literally long-term goal for me. And so nothing's going to keep me from seeing them if they arrive. For those of you who grew up in Cleveland, I know this hasn't happened in a really long time, but when a championship for one of the teams happens here, what does everybody do? You show up. I wasn't around when the Cavaliers won theirs, but did a lot of people go to that? Was it this big celebration? Everyone grabbed the t-shirts and they put them on and they're like, I'm going to wear this the rest of my life. We did it, right? We finally did it, and it will happen another time. But you go and you can look online at all of these different parades when they happen, and the people are showing up. And so now think about the idea of, I know in our lives, what if we were to flip kind of that biggest thing that we're going to do? Because for some of us, it's like, oh, I'm going to take my family, and we're going to go to Disney. But imagine that, like, Disney World, like, went traveling and came to Mentor. Because a lot of people are just like, I'm not going to spend the money to go down to Florida and have to go to a hotel. Some of us do it, but others don't. But if it came here and it was free and it traveled, we're going to go see it. So for every person there, though, we're going to have to decide how we're going to respond. When something comes and something arrives into our town, whether it's Taylor Swift or it's a championship parade or Bluey and Bingo actually show up, we're going to have to decide how we're going to respond in that moment. And Pastor Paul just kind of set the scene in saying, this is what everyone were coming to expect. But then something happened and maybe the expectations, we didn't get to see what we wanted because I really wanted to see Bluey and Bingo. But then only Muffin shows up, and now I have to deal with the fact that I wanted to meet Bluey and Bingo, but now I'm just having to deal with Muffin. And if any of you have watched Bluey and Bingo, or Bluey, you know who Muffin is. And Muffin and I are probably soulmates. All right. But how are we going to respond? And I just want to read a little bit from Luke of the triumphal entry. This is what it says. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples. As we go through this story, kids, I want you to think of who are the characters that in a second I might talk about. Okay? So just try to, Jesus is not one of them. I'm going to talk about Jesus. That's a given. But who are the other characters? Who are the ones that are being called to respond? Okay? So he sends two of the disciples saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie the colt and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you trying to untie it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent did this, and they went away just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. And he rode along, and they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down to Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice, saying, for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Oh, sorry, I must have pushed that. This is the multitude. The multitude had come to see him. And they have, all of them, of their various expectations. Now, many of the people in Jerusalem may have just stayed home. They may have just like, well, I'm going to play Call of Duty instead, and did that. And others would have been like, oh, you know what's really important? The Browns are on. They're 1-12. I'm going to watch this game. So they may have stayed home. And others would have been like, ah, he's famous. I hate famous people. I'm not going to go see it. And some were expecting the king to be enthroned. And many of them might have been the people who were there, hearing him teach, seeing him heal people. As Pastor Paul was just reading, many of them were there when they had seen Lazarus. And so they'd seen the wonderful things that he had done. He's talking about bringing a kingdom. He's talking about overthrowing principalities and powers. Yet we have a different idea than what Jesus did about that. He says that you're not going to need anymore and you're not going to go hungry. And so for poor people who are needy and hungry, what does that mean? And so we're called to respond. And so then in just a couple of days, you know what's going to happen? Pastor Paul talked about it. He's going to be taken before the authorities and put on a cross, and he's going to die. And then where did they go? Imagine LeBron James comes back, and he's, I'm going back to Cleveland, and we're going to win ourselves another championship. And that doesn't happen. And then you're expecting like, oh, Taylor Swift says because she is dating Travis Kelce that they're definitely going to come and move to Cleveland. Have you seen that? They're going to move to Cleveland now. And now every year we get a concert in Cleveland, but that never happens. Do we stop believing it? Because our expectations are wrapped up in what we want and what we expect. But we're not necessarily listening to what he said to expect. The other one might be the Pharisees. And the Pharisees told Jesus, have your disciples all quiet. They're being too loud. They're going to make the Romans mad. I'm angry. Just stop it. I don't like loud noises. I don't like famous people. Get them out of here. But Jesus rebukes them and says, even if they weren't celebrating and raising praise and glorifying God, then the stones would. So how did they respond? And then we see after the resurrection, we see a different kind of response. We see that the disciples, what they were doing, that at least the 12, they were nearby and waited. And then there was only 11 of them. We have to remember that part of the story too. But they were near enough and close enough to the story to respond when they saw it come to fulfillment. They might have. Were they perfect? No. Did they have challenges to their belief? Yes. Did they kind of want to run away? Probably. But we see and we know that the women went to the tomb to do what they needed to do, and then they saw the glory of God in the resurrection. And we know that they went and they told the disciples. And even though they didn't fully understand it, they were near enough to realize that the end of the story had come. For some of us, we're going to be on a lot of different places of this whole idea. There's going to be some of us who are going to respond, and we might actually try to run away. And we were celebrating a few minutes ago, but now we're really scared because what we thought was going to happen didn't. Maybe some of us have been grown up in the church and we have the expectations of what God's going to do for us, yet we forgot that he's telling us actually to do something. And laid scared, we don't know what's going to happen, and we're waiting around for the next step of the story. Sometimes faithfulness is not just being 100% sure all the time because you know it's going to happen in the way that you put it in your mind that it's going to happen. But it's being faithful to see that the Lord has our best interests in mind. And sometimes those best interests don't align with ourselves. So the question is how are you going to respond? Maybe it's like I respond this way and that way every kind of day, every single day. One day I'm celebrating, the next day I'm running away. And then I feel convicted about something, I start arguing with him. That's okay too. But then I come to the moment where I put my faith in the person who has said that he would heal me, a broken person, that he's going to feed me, a hungry person, and allow me to shift my mind from the things of the world to the things of his heavenly kingdom that matter so much more. But we also see that the way that the spiritual world is impacted is also in our physical world through his death physically and his resurrection physically that we'll talk about next week. So just one more thing for us all. The disciples' response is kind of the reason why we're here today. And their response is kind of what changed the world, right? They wrote these things down, at least in the New Testament, so that we could have them today. And it's not because they were perfect, but because they were presently there. And this Sunday, we are presently here as well. And they stayed in the story long enough to see what happened Easter morning. And if you didn't already know, that's next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we have come to worship you this morning, we thank you for your son and his message and the redemption that he accomplished for us. And Lord, as we respond to the gospel, as we hear it every Sunday morning and we live it out every day in our lives, allow us to see how we should respond. Reveal to us the ways that we respond, both the good and the bad. But show us what a holy and loving response is to you and your message. We thank you for your son and what will be accomplished and what has been accomplished. Allow us to wait on you and have faith in the story that is going to come to an end for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.